You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing at Musselburgh and Chelmsford on this edition. We've also got Irish action from Nace and a good card as well across all three meetings at Musselburgh, Chelmsford and Nace. And you'll hear every race live from 12:50pm on Racing Radio in the company of Natalie Carey, John Budden and Ross Briley. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, is the aforementioned Mr. Ross Briley to guide us through four races on Sunday. How are you, Ross?
The aforementioned Mr. Ross Briley, I like that. Rather clunky, but I like it. Gives me an air of gravitas that I have neither earned nor deserve.
That's a strong word, gravitas.
It is. Mild respect, I would expect from you, Sam.
that's about how I treat you.
Just until proven otherwise.
I don't revere you, but there's a mild.
There's still time.
Level of respect there. How's your luck been lately, Ross? How's Trix?
Yeah, good. Yeah, relatively quiet. I've barely touched it this week, really, the racing, because it's just, again, I think at this time of year, there's some days where I'm fully involved and I'm definitely got opinions left, right and centre, and then some days I just look at it and think, no, there's other things I'm going to do. So, but that's January and February for you.
Yeah.
So, no, but January was a pretty damn good month, yeah, so and February's just getting started.
Indeed. We're approaching that sort of pre-festival lull. We've just got one or two more runners to have their final preparations before the festival. Where does your festival preparation stand at this point? Has it been ramped up now in February?
No, not at all, no.
You're still a few weeks off?
I just don't see any point, really, in developing too strong an opinion too far ahead of time. I think that maybe back in the day when there was less sort of offers and the markets weren't as crazy as they are on the day, and also things change too much. I think people try and, especially they go and do Cheltenham previews, and they have to develop an opinion a month in advance, and then they stick rigidly to that opinion, and it's hard to shake an opinion once you've had it reinforced 3, 4, 5 times, and I just don't think it's particularly healthy. Because you should be at all times, you should literally be open to changing your mind until they're about to jump off, because anything could happen that could change it. You could get an opinion, I think this will happen, blah, blah, blah. We could have a freakishly dry week. It could be practically fast ground on the first day, and the horse you fancied has got all his form in heavy, or vice versa. I just don't see the point of it, really. It will not be until March, Sam, I will have any preparation whatsoever for it. Well, maybe not any whatsoever, but of course, I'm still, again, the only opinion I've had all winter was Thistlecrack would win the World Hurdle. And since I last did a podcast, he has more than reinforced that. And he's still odds against. So I'm just going to keep banging on about Thistlecrack in absence of any other opinions.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd expect he's got a very, very warm chance in the World Hurdle. It's probably quite a sensible way to treat it, Ross. I guess it's a liquid process, isn't it? It's ever-changing, as you said.
Yeah, and again, especially from my perspective, as I bet on a regular, almost full-time basis, as it were. So it's there's plenty to come today, tomorrow, the next day. So March is still 6 weeks away, ish.
Yeah, yeah, that's
five,
right.
Six. It's 6 weeks.
Six
isn't
weeks.
It?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So anything can happen between now and then.
Certainly can. Plenty of racing to come. While we're on the festival, Ross, novice entries on this side of the Irish Sea, 43% down for the festival, which is obviously a pretty significant dip. A lot of people pointing the finger at, well, not pointing the finger, but saying that it's due to people running scared of the Willie Mullins runners. Is this becoming a problem for racing, Ross, or not for you?
I think it could become a problem for racing, but there is a never-changing, again, things go through cycles, and people latch onto it. People might well have said, not as strongly, but might have said similar about Paul Nicholls a couple of years ago. But there's a worry that just seeing incredibly impressive dominant horses from one yard and one, maybe two owners winning big races is going to bore people. However, it could also raise the game of everyone else. It could make everyone else have to work harder to actually get up to the standard that Willie Mullins has set. I suppose people might have said the same when Martin Pipe started changing things years ago, and then everyone else thought, well, I'm going to have to really rejig things. It's happened in football. You get certain teams and organisations that go, well, hang on a minute, let's really revolutionise this. They dominate, but they don't. It's impossible to dominate forever. It just won't happen. So people will have to raise their game. Personally, I tend to look outside the box and look for the underdog and look for something a bit different. So, I mean, if Willie Mullins bombs out, if things go wrong for him, or they don't go...
There's value elsewhere.
Oh, it's going to be, it'll be an absolute glorious day. Yeah. However, the last couple of years, I've kind of half taken that view and have not done very well at all in the races that Mullins has been dominating the market. So, at the moment, it's a quandary. It's a tough one. But I don't think it's... Unless it goes on for the next 5 to 6 years, I think it's just a problem people are going to have to face up to and try and raise the game. And that goes to the novice events as well. It might well be that we just don't have those kind of horses. And also, it might well be the Mullins factor is probably scaring off the people who can't really win the race. The entries that were there to pick up prize money have suddenly realised that actually the picking up prize money is done by the horses who in the past would have been the ones they were running scared of.
Right, yeah.
So again, all the quality's been raised, which means that the bottom of the market or the bottom of the entries is kind of dropping away.
So we're losing the sort of deadwood in a way.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a little bit. Which it changes things. Like the Triumph Hurdles are a completely different race these days. Again, you used to have plenty of deadwood in there, and it made for a more exciting race, admittedly. But now you get better horses winning it. So it depends what you want. It depends whether you want excitement or quality, because you can't necessarily have both.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be asking too much to have three or four horses of the calibre of a Duvan, for example, in the Arkle.
Yeah, or again, I mean, to use I like using football examples because there's probably more data and stuff to go on, but the Premier League this year is not a quality Premier League. It's an incredibly exciting Premier League.
Yeah.
But you look at, say, the Bundesliga, and Bayern Munich for the past 2 or 3 years have been incredibly dominant, and they're awesome to watch. So you either have that or you have the Premier League.
Yeah.
No one from the Premier League is going to go and win the Champions League this season or trouble Europe, but you can have an incredibly exciting domestic campaign. You can't always have quality and competition.
Yes, yeah, I'd have to agree with that. We'll leave that there then, Ross. There'll be plenty said about that, no doubt, before the festival. Let's get into some of Sunday's action now. We've got two races to come from Musselburgh and two from Chelmsford. Two pretty decent cards on Sunday for us, Ross.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. As you said, it's about as close to... what Sunday racing should be, as I've seen in quite a while, so it should be all right.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get stuck into the Musselburgh races first of all. Small fields at Musselburgh on Sunday. We start with their 2 o'clock. This is a Scottish Triumph Hurdle trial. It's a listed juvenile hurdle over 1.07 miles. We've got just the 4 runners down to contest this one, and a lot of eyes will be on Tommy Silver for this race, Ross, after making a pleasing debut.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying about the pre-festival lull, the February lull, as it were. But the frustrating thing is, again, you're getting there's 18 grand on the table here for a listed juvenile hurdle, and it's attracted 4 runners, and it's a bit frustrating because, again, with Saturday's cards as well, there's a lot of decent racing, and maybe not the fields you'd expect from the quality of the cash and the racing because everyone's got that eye on Cheltenham. Tommy Silver obviously had his form franked left, right and centre by Fixer Le Cap. Baltingham doesn't even cover it at Warwick last time out, I don't think. Walking home from the pub.
Yeah.
Fixer Le Cap last time out. Beat Tommy Silver. They were 11 lengths clear of the rest. That was also a period when Paul Nicholls' horses were running averagely. They're a little bit better at the moment. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. I actually think the biggest worry is the one giving the field weight, and that's Sir Chauvelin, who didn't do very well at Doncaster in very heavy ground, but he's 2 from 2 here at Musselburgh, and his love of the track could be a big danger to Tommy Silver.
Okay, but Tommy Silver would get the pick.
I think he'll win, yeah.
Okay, the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh is the next race on the podcast. This is Scottish County Hurdle, a listed handicap here, again over an extended mile and 7 trip. We've got 11 runners down for this one, so a little bit more depth to this race, Ross.
Yeah, looks a nice little race. You've got horses like Cardinal Walter, who's a very decent flat horse, who had some good novice form last year, finished 5th in Greater Company at Aintree on his final start, hasn't been seen since April. This track should suit him absolutely down to the ground, Cardinal Walter. I think he's a very interesting runner here off a mark of 139. Horses like Pearl Castle, who's also a nice type on his day. He ran well here at Musselburgh about a month ago, so he'd be of interest, Pearl Castle. But the one I'm going to go for is Vendor, who back in the day was a good horse for Alan King. I remember the World and his wife backed him for the Fred Winter when he didn't quite get up the hill and was beaten by Un Artiste. Last time out at Wetherby, on his penultimate start at Wetherby, bolted up over 2 miles. He then went up in trip, and he turned into the home straight, swinging away, loving life, looking the most likely winner by quite a way. Unfortunately, 2.5 miles in heavy ground was too far, and he found zilch in the past sort of furlong or two. The drop back in trip is a massive plus for him, and I think he's a horse in great form, and he's potential nap material for Sunday.
Okay, stepping back in trip, then it's Vendor getting the pick for Ross for the combination of Sue Smith and Danny Cook. We'll go over to Chelmsford now to take in two races from their poly track. We start with the 240. This is a 5 furlong sprint handicap with 8 runners to contest it. What are you liking this race, Ross?
Yeah, another good one. Plenty of horses who've met consistently throughout the winter. The most eye-catching one was Royal Birth. I've had him on the shortlist all winter, really. He made a very, very nice return to action at Kempton back in December. Then things didn't go to plan at Wolverhampton whatsoever. But he rattled home from the clouds last time out after missing the break at Chelmsford. He beat Dynamo Walt. I think that's the form to concentrate on, personally. Pensac's Lad, also of interest as well. He's been running really well around these tracks. And Normal Equilibrium might be overpriced, as he's got some half-decent form at this track in the past. But I'll stick with Royal Birth, although he does have to just make sure those tardy starts don't get the better of him.
Royal Birth, then, it is for Ross in the 240. The final race to come, then, on today's podcast comes up at 3:10. This is another one from Chelmsford. A condition stakes here over 5 furlongs. We've got 4 runners to contest this. As always, a good prize on offer for these condition stakes. And Gracious John, we'll start with him. The top weight has won 5 of his last 6 and will be a good bet for a lot of people tomorrow.
Yeah, very much so. He's a nice type. He's really progressing. He's fine over 5, 6, even further, really. He's versatile in regards of tactics. The only worry is he's never been to this track, which can put a lot of horses off. Field of Vision, his main market rival, in contrast, has won here. He broke his maiden here, but he was put in his place by Gracious John last time out. Again, I think it's not going to be much of a betting heat. I think Catrice is out of his depth, and that's what I'm saying, definitely out of its depth. I think Gracious John would win, but the only thing that would concern me is if Field of Vision managed to get to the front and settle into a nice rhythm, the form could be turned around. But I do like the way Gracious John's going about things, and I think he'll be a big danger come the All-Weather Championship final day.
Okay, Ross's thoughts in the 3:10 then. Just remind us, please, and summarise your 4 picks for the action on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Tommy Silver will win the 2 o'clock. I think Vendor for the 3 o'clock. Those are both at Musselburgh. And then Royal Birth for the 2:40 and Gracious John for the 3:10. So it's good racing, but we're not going to get any crazy prices on Sunday, I don't think.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ross, and enjoy the action on Sunday.
Thanks, Sam.
And remember, you can join us here on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:50pm on Sunday with Natalie Kerry, John Budden and Ross Briley will be back as well for the cards at Musselburgh, Chelmsford and One Irish meeting at Nace. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.